All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, December 15th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a NFL showdown between the Dolphins and the Steelers tonight. We have a five-game NHL slate and then a four-game NBA slate. So should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. And then we do the show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up on the screen. A couple announcements for you guys. A little bit of a different schedule this week. We're going to be having office hours Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. So no office hours on Tuesday or Thursday this week. Show today, no show tomorrow, show back on Wednesday, just so you guys are aware. But in the meantime, why don't we jump into questions that came in today, and then we will see where we go from there. All right, so first question, can you walk through an example on how one might use contest look back to search for trends / edges, and then how to apply those edges in actual builds? Yeah, absolutely. What I would probably do is two things, right? And we'll use yesterday's main slate as like our example here. So let's go back to NFL yesterday. And then we'll go to the main. So I would always look at two things, okay? I would look at one, the contest you played. Two is I would look at a contest that you didn't play. That's like a main contest, right? So like for instance, let's say I am playing single entries. You know, we've had like a, or I don't really love single entries, actually. Let's say you're playing 20 max or something like that, right? Now, maybe I am playing, you know, the first down, which is, let me just remove this, move my face over, make it a little easier. You know, maybe I'm playing the first down, right? And where did that contest go? The first down right here, you know? Okay, great. You know, I can look at this contest. This is the one I played, right? So this is the one I want to look at. I would also be looking at a bigger contest, whether that be one I did, one I didn't play, or something like that, right? And the idea here is you want to study the best lineups in your own contest, but then you want to study the best players in the lobby too, right? You know, even though this is a 20 max, I play the first down, maybe I want to go and study the Millie Maker, for instance, right? Now, these contests are big. They are going to take a while to load. So for the sake of time here, I'm going to go and look at the Flea Flicker, right? So assume I didn't play this contest, but it's over the, $3 threshold. It's a bigger prize pool contest. There's going to be a lot of good players in it. So I want to see what the players who are simming the best in this contest, what kind of decisions they're making. Now, if you get this page unresponsive message, I would just continue to click wait until everything loads in here. So I'll give you guys an example. You know, one time I was talking to somebody and they were like, yeah, you know, I never like to play. Actually, they were unchecking stacks bigger than a QB plus two. Right? That was just something that they felt was right. Well, you can kind of put that idea to the test. And flashback is like the way to do it, right? It's like, hey, I have some idea or opinion. You know, is this wrong? Is this right? How do I find out? Well, I go and I in here and I see like, hey, which players are doing the best? And are they doing that or are they not, right? So this one, 100, I want to look at the players entering the most lineups, right? These are probably players with the biggest bankrolls, long-term winners, all that kind of stuff. Sort by sim ROI, okay? So top player, well-known name in this SaberSim community, Shady Advice. Now, what I could do, right, is I could say, hey, you know, okay, let's go and look at Shady's lineups. We're going to use the plus icon to filter on his lineups. I'm going to open up the projection tab. And not only did he sim well, he had a good day, right? 280% actual ROI too. So that's good. So now I can just see like, hey, what kind of lineups is he playing? What is he allowing? What is he not allowing? Right. So here we see a mix. We see QB plus ones, QB plus twos. We see some bringbacks. We see some big game stacks, QB plus threes with a bringback, QB plus twos with two bringbacks, you know, smaller percentages, but he's allowing these like, you know, really heavy game stacks, not at like a super high rate, but they are there, right? Now there's two things I don't see. Number one, I don't see any no QB stacks. And then I don't see any QB plus fours, right? So kind of staying within this QB plus one to QB plus three range with a range of bringbacks, right? One bringback, two bringbacks, three bringbacks. And that just means like players on the opposing team, right? So like QB plus one is a quarterback with a pass catcher, whether that be a running back, receiver, or tight end. And then one running back, receiver, tight end from the opposite team. That is what this stands for. So, okay, we can look at kind of some of the stacks he's playing. We can even look at some secondaries. Interesting that he's allowing, you know, up to three players from one team on the opposite end. He might not even be doing this intentionally, but I think there are players who will intentionally avoid this, right? I've seen users say like, hey, you know, how do I write a rule that says no more than one player from a team unless they have their quarterback, right? And what that would mean is that they are not willing to play two players from a team without their quarterback. So they would have zero of the secondary two stacks. Well, Shady, who is a top player and is simming really well, is playing a lot of lineups that have two players from a team without their quarterback, right? So that would, you know, if somebody were writing that rule, I would heavily reconsider using it, because it doesn't seem like that is a strategy being employed by, you know, a top player here, right? So like that is something I would consider is, hey, you know, what kind of secondaries am I allowing? Do I need to open this up and be more willing to play two players from a team without their quarterback? You know, the answer looks to be yes to me, but that's my interpretation of this, right? Make a note here. All right, so then we keep going. Nothing crazy in the game stacks department. Most of his game stacks were of the higher totals games. Interesting, no Buffalo, New England, but had Washington Giants, and then the top projected Detroit Rams, Baltimore, Cincinnati, right? So game stacks are like mostly from these higher total games, outside of this Chargers KC, like a little bit there. Okay. I like to look at the projected points here. I think that's cool to be like, hey, sort by projected points, you know, where are these at? Kind of all over the place, all right? Like, but avoiding pretty significantly the lowest projected point teams, right? So most of his stacks are coming from like the top half, and he's willing to get leverage, right? Because he's pretty high on Washington, but then all of these like lower teams, there is what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26 teams on the slate. And he had, you know, 0% stacks, which we know he didn't play any naked quarterbacks. Of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So the bottom 11 teams, he didn't use at all. And then he only used from the top 15. And then even one of those he didn't use. Interesting, kind of fading Josh Allen here. And then faded Goff. only a little bit of Pats in Chicago, but I'm like, for me, right, so far, I'm more interested in the sacks he's allowing. I think the secondary sack thing is really interesting. And then this kind of points thing, right? I think that's kind of interesting. Basically not sacking these like lower projected point teams. I don't know what is super different between like Green Bay and Washington here, right? Like 0.3 difference in total points, but like massive difference in exposure here, right? You're not always going to be able to reverse engineer everything someone does, but you can glean insight and find some things to take away, right? Like, I'm not going to be able to look at this one time like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what Shady's doing, you know, and I could just recreate it, right? Like, I can't, and I don't know why he did it. But I will tread cautiously in an area and use bits of information that I see that I think I can at least make sense of and kind of take that away, right? So, like, that is what I'm trying to do here is what do I see that makes sense and, you know, what do I want to incorporate in my own builds going forward, right? So, okay, so we come into his actual lineups. Now we're going to look at what he was doing. Now, I would probably do this a couple different ways. So we don't care so much about actual ownership. We're probably going to care more about projected because, you know, ideally he's making his decisions based on the projected ownership rather than what ownership actually comes in at. So I want to look at projected own, exposure, leverage, and then I might just sort these. You know, hey, how did he handle the chalkiest players, right? That's one way of looking at this. Like, hey, you know, how did he handle some of the chalkier players? Hey, well, Woody Marks, he's kind of even on, under on Puka, a little bit over. You know, his top and bottom leverages, in my opinion, aren't coming from these highest projected own guys. Well, maybe Puka a little bit. So that's one way to look at it, right? Projected own. Look at like the top projected own guys. Looking at the top leverages. Hey, where did he take his stands on? Hey, was he right? You know, okay, getting to Trey Harris, pretty low salary. You know, seems like some type of value play he made here to maybe fit in other pieces. George Kittle, he took a stand on. Barner, he took a stand on. We are missing the actual scores for Tennessee and San Francisco right now, just so you guys know. So George Kittle didn't actually score zero here, but I just wanted to clear that up. You know, you could look at the highest actual scoring players. Okay, you know, he didn't really have that much. Lawrence was under the field like half on Amon-Ra. Only one Trey McBride lineup. See, this is kind of interesting, right? Because we know that Shady had a 280% actual ROI, yet somehow, you know, his leverages on like some of the highest scoring players are like relatively low. The only one that stands out is Etienne, right? He did have some positive leverage on him, but otherwise, you know, not like that much positive leverage on a lot of the highest actual scoring players. So maybe he just had, you know, one lineup that just kind of had the right combo and got there. But there's a lot of different ways to chop this up. If you're going to go through positions, right? Hey, what running backs did he play? What receivers? Okay. Don't go position by position. Okay. Go to the all tab, right click on position. Say, hey, what is his overall running back exposure? Right. Because okay, overall, he had 35% marks, right? But if I, well, I think he played early. So hold on. Who's somebody that played in the afternoon? Okay, CMC. right? CMC played afternoon. So overall, 24% CMC. Oh, he only played him in the flex one time. That's interesting. Basically, my point is that, you know, it might look like he has less of somebody if you only look at the running back and don't include the flex. That's all I was trying to say. Okay, so better to right-click, go one by one here. And you can look at tight ends, receivers, running backs, et cetera here, right? So what have we learned? You know, what kind of overall takeaways do I want to make here? I would say that it is fine to avoid no QB stacks. It is fine to avoid QB plus fours. I think it is interesting how many secondary two stacks he's playing. That's probably something I've never looked at when building my lineups, and I just kind of let Sabersim handle it. I might actually put some eyes on it and just be like, hey, you know, what does this look like? And I might even be interested at looking at, you know, my exposures to some of the lowest projected point teams and just make sure like I'm not getting too much exposure to some of these lower projected teams in terms of quarterback exposure and stack exposure and things like that, right? So broad strokes, I think that is the right approach with flashback because you don't know exactly why someone did something. So you want to be a little bit careful in being too direct and saying, oh, yes, I know exactly why they're doing this. But you can learn things, right? And then that's just one player. You know, look at the next player, look at the next player, look at the next player. See if you can learn from all these different users. And then all of a sudden you've taken bits and pieces all over the place and you've created kind of your own process from that. So that is a way of using flashback to get better. All right. Next question. If I lower or raise multiple player exposure / ownership, is it good to manually do the same for other players in the same positions to keep the sim from tilting, or does the sim automatically do the balancing for me? So as far as, you know, boosting players or forcing players with exposures and projections and things like that, you know, you should only do it. Well, how do I say this? So it's going to depend what angle you're coming from, right? Now, if you are raising a player's projection because you think they're going to do better than Sabersim thinks they're going to do, for instance, right? Okay, you know, do that, but like also understand, well, if I raise Puka from 24 to 26, chances are I'm probably going to get more of him. You should probably want that, right? Because you think he's going to do better than, you know, an industry projection expects, right? And then if he does what you think he's going to do, then that extra exposure should actually help you and benefit you more than it will other users, right? Exposures are more of like a blunt tool. They're going to make sure a player gets in your lineups. I think that, you know, you're effectively coming up with a list, right? Like, hey, I want these guys in my lineups. And then I also think these other guys are going to do better than expected or even worse, right? You can move them negative. I don't think you have to end up in this snowball of like effectively changing everybody just because you have opinions about some players. I would say just stick with the players that you have the opinions about, apply those in Sabersim, and then let Sabersim figure out the rest. Like, okay, hey, this is kind of our starting point. You know, we need this much of these players exposure-wise. You know, our user here thinks these players are going to do better. Let's take all that into account. Let's build the best lineups we can with that information in the middle, and then let Sabersim kind of fill in the gaps from there, right? I think that is like the best way of using a tool like Sabersim, where you still work in your opinions. I call it like a man plus machine approach, right? It's not like you just doing it by your hand in your head all alone. It's not just leaving Sabersim to its own devices and letting it do whatever it wants. It's part Sabersim, but then it's part you, right? And then you get these lineups that are kind of your own that you've put in your own touch on, and that are still optimized really well. So you let SaberSim do what it does best. You do a lot of the quality assurance and some of the key kind of core inputs as far as like what you want your lineups to look like. And then you kind of go from there. So that would be my advice. Next question. In single games, let me put my face back. I've noticed that dupe numbers are usually higher than what SaberSim projects. How do I avoid playing lineups that are duped too many times? Yeah, so this is for two reasons. Number one is our field lineups only have 15,000 lineups in them. So our dupe numbers in like the contest sim, for instance, are generated from that 15,000 lineup pool, right? Like how many times are these lineups in this pool of 15,000? Well, the problem begins when you are playing contests over 15,000 entries. So like even take tonight, for example, we go back to today. NFL 15, Miami Pitt. Go to contests. Okay, so like let's say you're playing the play action, right? Well, the play action has, you know, 99,000 entries. Well, that's more than 15,000, right? So now the lineup dupe expectation actually ends up kind of growing. Our dupes, we checked this, I think, on like last week or Saturday, maybe. Our dupes do scale pretty well as far as like I think like a lineup was expected to be duped like a certain number of times. And then if you multiplied it by like six or something, because it's like 15,000 and this is 99,000. So this is like six, seven times as big. If you multiplied the dupes by the same number, it was actually kind of close. I was kind of impressed by that in that example. That was for sure in office hours from like the last three shows, I think. But where you might want to consider doing something extra. Well, number one, if you're filtering out by dupes, right? Just be mindful that, you know, that number doesn't scale properly or it's like not going to be the same. What I would instead recommend, and we have a I have a tutorial for this. If you go to the Office Hours channel and you go to the pinned messages, I would learn how geometric mean works, and I would learn how to apply it in the app, which this video will show you. So I made this tutorial talking about geomean. It is a form of ownership that takes into account the total number of entrants in your contest. I'm going to drop the link here in the YouTube chat for this video. It'll basically walk through an example, explain it, and then show you how to apply it in the app. So kind of base knowledge and then how to use it in SaberSim. The good thing with geomean is that the formula takes into account the exact number of entrants in your contest. So it is more specific in terms of what number approximately estimates what number of dupes in the exact contest you're playing. So that video breaks it all down. I think it's like a 5-minute video. And should give you a pretty good starting point. All right, question. I have SaberSim Lite. How would you set it up for a single entry on SaberSim Lite? Yeah, so what I would do, right, is I would still make my group. But in my group, for my sorting, I would use Uniques 1. And then I would probably, if you have SaberScore, I'm not sure you do though, use SaberScore. If you don't, use old SaberScore. And then if you're playing a showdown like tonight, I would use the single game old SaberScore. So if you have new SaberScore, use it. Okay, you said I do, great. So you would want to set it up like this, where you have a group on Light. You can have up to 20 lineups. I know you said you're playing a single entry, so you can just change this to one. Uniques 1, SaberScore, build your lineup, rank your lineup by SaberScore. And then from there, right, like let's say You know, I think with single entries, it's like cool to look at like a number of lineups, right? It's like, hey, increase this number to 10, scroll through, find a lineup you like, lock the lineup, and now it just looks something like this. So let's build some lineups. So let's build 500. All right. So we ran our lineups. Saber score is calculating. Okay. So when you open it, right, it's going to be like one. So it's going to give you a lineup, right? If you want to see the lineup in a different view, come in and turn off this use compact lineup view. It'll like open it up. Now, if you don't have any opinions or you like this lineup, great. You know, take it. If you have some opinions, right? Hey, maybe I don't want Warren. Okay. Then I can set a max exposure to him. You know, I can come in. I can change his max exposure. It'll give me a new lineup. That's one way of doing it. Another way, right? You're on light. You can see up to 20 lineups at a time. Okay. Change it to 20. And then now scroll through here and then look at the lineups, you know, and then find one you like. Maybe I like this third one. Okay. I go in, I lock it. I come back. I change the lineups from 20 back to one. Now it prioritizes the lineup that I've locked. So that's another way of doing it, right? So you can look at one lineup, go one lineup at a time with max exposures and stuff. You can look at a number of lineups, find the one you kind of vibe with the most, and then lock it, change your number of lineups back, and then save it as needed. So that is kind of the method that I would go through, but this is for sure how I would be setting it up on Lite. All right. Look in here. Looks like we're all caught up with questions in Discord and YouTube chat. Johnny said, thank you. You're welcome. I think we're going to get out of here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. I repeat, Wednesday, no show tomorrow. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.